Hey, this is Daniel Tardy with the Entree Leadership Team. Thanks so much for listening to Dave Ramsey's Entree Leadership Podcast. Hey, did you know that the lessons taught by Dave on this show are a part of our Entree Leadership Master Series event? If you want to hear the entire Entree Leadership curriculum, join Dave at our next Master Series event happening at Disney Swan and Dolphin Resort in Orlando, Florida, October 14th through the 20th. These tickets are selling fast and we only take 200 people. So visit DaveRamsey.com/EntreeLeadership or give us a call at 888-227-3223 to sign up today.
Welcome to Dave Ramsey's Entree Leadership Podcast. This is a place to learn what Dave Ramsey and his team teach about leadership and business. On today's show, we have a lesson from Dave about goal setting and the wheel of life. We will also have an interview with leadership expert, get ready for this, John Maxwell. That's right. On the show today, we're going to have an interview with John Maxwell. I'm pretty excited about this. Just a little too excited, as a matter of fact. We're going to be talking about his brand new book, The 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth. Live them and reach your potential. Who am I? My name is Chris Licurdo. And I am your host for the Entree Leadership Podcast. Now, last episode, we talked with Reid Hoffman and heard a lesson from Dave explaining the key results areas. If you did not hear that, that is an absolute must listen to. Well, okay, let's be honest. All of the Entree Leadership Podcasts are absolute must listen to, right? Come on. But you definitely, if you do not have KRAs in place, key result areas in place, then that is something you must do. This week, we're going to be talking about goal setting and the wheel of life. So here is Dave Ramsey.
Now, for your vision and your goals to have long-term positive impact, for them to actually occur, they got to include several different areas. You got to be able to get to several different areas. You need career goals. You need financial goals. You need spiritual goals. You need physical goals. You need intellectual goals. Family goals, and social goals. Now, Brian Tracy or Zig Ziglar would call this the wheel of life. If you go to Ziglar.com, Zig's a buddy of mine, Tom, his son, has been through Entree Leadership with us. And we love that family. They're just wonderful people. Zig's an icon. He's a national treasure, 84 years old now. But has taught all of America this kind of thing. And the spokes in the wheel. As a matter of fact, if you go to Ziglar.com, our organization furnishes them the material for the financial spoke on the wheel. And Zig says, if any one side of this wheel, one area of your life, you just don't mess with it at all, you have what's known as a flat tire. And your life will be noisy. Blah, 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 blah. If you leave any one of these completely untouched, you're going to have a problem. Now, you're going to have natural strengths and natural weaknesses, things you gravitate towards, and that just kind of occur out of who you are almost without effort. And then you'll have other areas you have to put a little more effort into. Now, you don't have to spend a whole bunch of your time. John Maxwell says, don't spend all your time trying to offset your weaknesses. You know, pour your time into your strengths. I'll go with that. But also don't have a flat tire. Don't spend all your time at work and ignore your family. You won't have a family. And you're going to have some ebb and flow too. There's going to be times you focus on one area because you got to get that area fixed. It's struggling. And you got to pour some time into it. Maybe your physical condition. Maybe you're going to have to spend some time working out and concentrating on the intake, that kind of thing, right? Your spiritual condition. If you leave any one of these completely lacking, it'll bring the others down. You don't take care of your body, you'll get to while you're in intensive care. You know, you've got to take care of these different areas.
So that is just a vitally important lesson. You've got to be making sure that you're spreading yourself out into all areas of that wheel. If you go to chrislicurdo.com, the number one post that I've done, at least I think it's number one, it might be number two. One of the top three posts that I've done is the Zig Ziglar Wheel of Life. I did that post in May of last year. And that thing comes up in my top 10 every single month. And the reason why is how important it is. You've got to understand you're not just one aspect of you. You're multiples. There are areas that you have to make sure you're pouring yourself into. And if you hold off in other areas, then guess what? You're going to suffer. I can prove that. Why? Physical is one of the ones that I struggle with. Folks, I love to eat. It's an issue for me. And what I found out is if I don't spend enough time setting goals and taking care of my physical self, and I spend too much time taking care of my career, my intellectual, then what happens is that I do grow, only it's in my midsection that starts growing. So you've got to make sure that you're covering every area of the wheel of life. Let's switch gears a little bit. Today we are talking to the John Maxwell. John Maxwell is an internationally respected leadership expert, speaker, and author who has sold more than, check this out, 20 million books. 20 million. Colin, how many have I sold? Zero. Right. Okay. He is the founder of Equip, a nonprofit organization that has trained more than 5 million leaders in 126 countries worldwide. That's insane. Each year, he speaks to leaders of diverse organizations such as Fortune 500 companies, foreign governments, the National Football League, which probably, John, you need to speak to the refs right about now, the United States Military Academy at West Point, and the United Nations. A New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and Business Week bestselling author, John has written 3 books that have sold more than 1 million copies. The first of those is probably my favorite of all times, The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, which, by the way, I believe Dave did the foreword on that. If I am correct, Developing the Leader Within You and the 21 Indispensable Qualities of a Leader. His newest book, The 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth. Live them and reach your potential. Just released October 2nd, and it's the third and final book in the Law series. Colin, Becky, do you guys know who John Maxwell is? You do. Yeah, you know why? Because everybody knows who John Maxwell is. That's why. So, folks, please welcome to the show, John Maxwell. John, thanks for doing this.
Oh, Chris, great to be with you. My goodness, what an honor. I hope we can just add value to the people today.
Oh, sir, I'm quite positive that will happen. We're big fans of yours. We've been following you for a long time. Anybody who's in leadership follows everything that you're doing. So it is an honor to have you on here. I know that people are going to get a lot out of this, like they always do out of all of your books and everything that you do. You've got this new book out. You've written, I don't know, somewhere around 400 books. At least that's what it seems like, and they're all just amazing. You're known as a leadership author. Why did you write a book on personal growth?
It's a great question, Chris, because I am known for leadership. What I am not known for near as well, but is the root of really what I would consider the success that I've been able to have, whatever limited nature that is the fact that the growing, personal growth, intentional growth, day in and day out, would be what I would consider the number one ingredient to my success. Mm-hmm. In other words, if somebody came to me and said, John, what is the one thing? Now, I'm a person of faith, so I mean, if they exclude the God factor, if they would ask, what is the one thing that you know, has allowed you to grow and to keep growing, what I would tell them is the fact that I've been intentional in my growth since 1974. Wow. And so, when I wrote my first book, I thought, well, I've written a book, and I didn't think I was going to write 2 books or 3 books, or you know, it's been now 70 some books. I don't know, but I thought I wrote my book. Mm-hmm. But because I kept growing, Chris, because I was intentional in my growth, I was able to write another book and another book, and it's been the same way with my career. You know, I've got a pastoral background, but when I saw that I was really connecting with the business groups and the secular community, I said, okay, I'm going to go over there. But I could go over there because I keep growing. And then when I decided we wanted to do some international training, I was able to go. So my growth has been my catalyst for the change I've been able to make, which has allowed me to do the things I've been able to do. So I'm so passionate. I'm so passionate about growth, and I'm unbelievably passionate about this book. And I know why. Because I know what it's done for me. And it's kind of like, wow, if this helped me, this is going to help a lot of people.
You know, what's crazy is that I've been following you for a long time. And as you say that, that just made sense to watching your career. I mean, it literally, as you pointed that out, of how you have done that in the places that you've been, that absolutely just, like, in my mind, I'm going, oh, wow, yeah, that absolutely makes sense. It's that focus. It hasn't been the focus on being the best leadership person. It hasn't been the focus on being the best author. It's been the focus on being the best John Maxwell. that has taken you to all those places, which is
it really has. It's I would say probably the best analogy that I can give is that personal growth has been the greatest door opener in my life.
Wow.
I mean, it just has. And you know as well as I do, when you open up one door, Chris, a lot of people, they get this idea that if they open up one door, then everything turns out. Well, you know, when you open up one door, all it does is take you to another door.
Yeah.
To open up another door to get to where you're going to go sometime. And that is all personal growth. That is all development.
I think people...
I mean, that's what it is. So the door openers in my life have been personal growth in my life.
Yeah, I think people get so stuck on there's only one door. If I could just get through that one door, I'd be happy. But the truth is, like you say, there's a lot more.
But if you're not growing, the doors stop opening.
Oh, that's good.
And that's very exciting to me. So what I this book I'm passionate about because it's easy to read, it's easy to apply, it's easy to understand, and I know what'll happen.
Yeah.
When the reader grabs hold of this book, they're going to have a eureka moment like I had when I was in my 20s, when all of a sudden I discovered the value of personal growth.
Now, why did you decide to make this a laws book?
Well, I wrote the laws of leadership, the 21 irrefutable laws of leadership, and then I wrote the laws of 17 laws of teamwork. And what makes those books work really well is that I qualified what is a law. A law is not gender biased. It works both male female equally. It is not time biased. A law worked 500 years ago. It'll work 500 years from now. I mean, if you take the 21 laws of leadership and go back 1,000 years, they work.
Yeah.
So it's not time limited. It's not gender biased. It's not culturally tied at all. We have our EQUIP organization now, Chris, is really we're in 173 countries.
Wow.
And we'll be in every country in the world in another 2 years. And so what that means is that I've taught these laws all around the world, and it doesn't matter what country you're in, they work. So the law, it's like the law of gravity. The law of gravity doesn't just work in some parts of the world, it works everywhere. Well, these laws, they work everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so when I got on personal growth, I wanted to do a book that no matter where a person was, no matter what their situation was and circumstances would be, that they could pick up these laws and they could begin immediately to apply them and grow in their life. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. What do you think is the greatest barrier to growth for most people?
Well, I think the greatest barrier for growth for most people is they don't realize that it doesn't happen automatically. You see, I just assumed that I would grow because, you know, I'm living and I go to work and, you know, I just assumed that I would grow. And when I had that encounter at breakfast in the Holiday Inn in Lancaster, Ohio, with a man by the name of Kurt Kampmeyer, and he asked me what my plan for personal growth was, and I had none at all. And it was the first time I realized I needed to be intentional in growing. I had assumed, and I never will forget, he looked at me after I basically told him I didn't have one. He looked at me and said, John, growth is not an automatic process. You don't grow automatically. You don't get better automatically. And it's just like a light bulb came on. I thought, wow, I just assumed that if I just kept living, I'd keep growing. And yet, you look at people who are living, and they're not growing at all. They're just getting, you know, they're getting older, but they're not getting any better. And so that day was the catalytic turnaround for me. What I came out of that discussion with Kurt Kampmeyer that day was that, one, I didn't have a plan for growth, and that I wouldn't grow without one, or I wouldn't grow without being intentional, and that I needed to figure out what that was, and I needed to make it a daily part of my life. And that was clear back in 1974, so what, my goodness, what are we talking? We're talking almost 40 years later. I have used this growth plan and developed myself and developed thousands and thousands of others off of it, and I found it worked for me. It's going to work for them. And then when the idea came to me, I literally woke up at 3:30 in the morning out of a deep sleep. I mean, I just woke up, and I sat up in bed and immediately I knew I needed to write this book. I hadn't been thinking about it. I've talked about personal growth a lot, and I've had people talk to me about how do I do that. But all of a sudden, I said to myself, John, what can you do better for people than to write a book that helps them grow. And I went, got put my bathrobe on at 3:30 in the morning, went down to my office. And by noon that day, I pretty well had knocked out the 15 laws of growth.
Wow.
As far as what those laws should be.
Wow.
It came that quick to me. But I've lived this. I've lived this.
It, right.
It's not that I'm brilliant. It's just if you've lived it for 40 years, I suppose you ought to figure it out.
We should have it by that time, right?
I don't want the people to think I'm smart. I just want them to think that after 40 years, I caught on. In fact, they probably should be thinking I'm quite slow, and why didn't I do this earlier? But that's who I am. My name's John.
Hey, let me just say, as somebody who teaches leadership myself, it's something you see in other people all the time. I mean, you obviously see it in yourself. As I teach this, you get on stage and you teach the same thing you've taught for years, and all of a sudden you go, ooh, you know, I didn't do that last week. And you see those things.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the most frustrating things for me is when people come to me and they're like, dude, help.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, okay, but here's the thing. I can only help you where you are.
Yeah.
I can't, you know, it's like the law of the lid. I can only, if this is all you've done so far, and and I'm preaching at myself. I'm preaching at 40 years from now, I'm going to write a follow-up to your book. So I'm preaching at myself that I'm like, oh my gosh, I can only help you where you are because I know what are possibilities.
Yeah.
But the problem is you haven't even got you there in a place where you can take on, you know, what's five steps away. So I think that's not, you know, for those people that are listening, for those of you that are listening, if you, you know, this is not just for CEOs. This is not just for entrepreneurs. This is not just for high-level leaders. If you are a team member on the bottom level and you're thinking to yourself, I want to be somewhere else someday, this is where you start. My gosh, you got to start growing you.
Oh, in fact, when people ask me, Chris, you know, they say, well, what would you do to help me to be successful? I say there are two questions I would ask you. One is, what are you doing to develop yourself? In other words, what are you doing to grow you? Question number two is, what are you doing to develop others? And what's so phenomenal, what I love about this book is this book will teach you how to grow you. This will teach you how to grow the people that are around you. It'll, if you've got a little business, it'll help you teach grow the people that are in your business. It is, and once the reader picks it up, they're going to see it immediately. It's just life changing. The words again are easy to understand, but boy, it's the content's life changing.
And I think I think the thing I like about asking those two questions is one, you have to focus on you, but two, if you're spending your time trying to grow others, that means that not only have you been intentional about growing yourself, but you've had to actually come along and discover something that you could share with others.
That's exactly right.
Which is fantastic. Now, growth obviously isn't something that we can accomplish overnight. Recently on your blog, you talked about 8 common growth gaps. What are those and how can people overcome them?
Well, I put the growth gaps in because I just want people to understand that they will have to battle to grow intentionally. Paul Harvey one time said, you can tell you're on the road to success. It's uphill all the way.
Yes, it is.
I don't know how many I have in the book, 8 or 10, but I mean, I have things like the assumption gap. That's one I had that I just assumed that I would grow automatically, you know, and so therefore that was a gap that was going to keep me from developing and growing myself like I really wanted to. But I talk about the perfection gap. That's the person who says, oh, my goodness, you know, I really do want to grow, but I got to get it right. And there's no such thing as getting it right.
Right.
There is such a thing as getting started. And as you get started, you tweak and detour and U-turn and do a lot of stuff. But you have to enter in the arena of action to really get this down and to do it to do it. So the person says, well, you know, the person, well, it's not the right time, you know, and, you know, I'm in school or, you know, I'm in the middle of a job. And I talk about the fact that, you know, there never is a right time. There's never a right time. I learned a long time ago, there never is a right time to do right. You just got to do it. You know, you just have to make your way. You have to pave your way. And so I just talk about things that are, the gaps are just things that kind of become roadblocks to people that keep them from achieving their potential. And the key is I want people to get started on their growth journey. That's why the laws, because if they understand the laws, they'll understand how to get going on the growth journey. And the reason I want them to get started is no growing begins until you start growing. And so you got to do it. And once you start it, then that's when the growth happens. And I also remember, Chris, when I started my growth journey in the early 70s, I can remember thinking, okay, this is good. This is what I should do, and I'll do this for, my goodness, I may do this for a year, year and a half, until I get through my growth journey. Well, how naive. I thought in a year, year and a half, I would be done. What I didn't realize, 40 years later, I would still be on this journey. It's like the slogan of Nike that says there is no finish line. There's no finish line at all in this. Mm-hmm. I mean, in fact, the more that you grow, the more you feel you need to grow. It's kind of like the more you know you don't know. And so you just kind of become even more passionate about growth. I'm more passionate today about growth than I was when I started. And I just love it. I don't know what I would do if I couldn't every day develop and grow myself. Life would not be much fun, I don't think.
I like that you say that you're more passionate now, and I think that's probably, correct me if I'm wrong, I think in the beginning stages, it's kind of this scary nebulous. You're just kind of like, okay.
Of course.
I know I need to. I'm not really sure how to, but I'm going to try.
And I'm not sure I'm doing it right.
Right, absolutely.
And I'm not, and who can help? And what was frustrating to me was, I bet I asked 500 people over the next 6 months after I realized that I needed to have a growth plan. I asked all my friends, do you have a growth plan? And I didn't have one person. You know what? I never met a person that first year that had a growth plan for their life. I met a few people that had goals, but I didn't mean anybody had a growth plan. And so can you imagine, here I am a kid and I'm trying to get a growth plan together. I'm trying to get one for myself, and I can't get anybody to help me. And that's why when I look again at the book, I get so excited, because I think to myself, okay, John, you have just given people a wonderful gift. You have just given people a growth plan. You have pretty much laid out in this book how they can grow and develop themselves. And boy, I think would I have, when I was, 26, would I have loved to have something like that put in my hands.
You know, so I've got all these questions that I'm supposed to ask you that I've got written down, and you just keep changing it for me. So how less selfish do you become in this process? There's two things that just hit me. One, in the early days, or even in... Gosh, early, should I say that? In the more immature stages of leadership, I think your goal is to grow better than anybody else. Your focus is always on the challenge, the competition. Yeah. You know, you've got to look better. You've got to be better. Yeah. But the things that I'm hearing from you, and just knowing, just having watched you over the years, I think there's two things that come to mind. One, how much do you change in this competition battle to grow better than others? And how much less selfish do you get? Gosh, if I can speak English, how's that sound? Do you get what I'm saying there?
Oh, no, totally. No, yes. In my early years, I was very competitive with my growth and comparing myself with others. I'll tell you what happened is, because I was on a growth plan and most of my friends weren't, the comparison stopped real quick. Within a year, I quit that because I realized...
You were the only one growing.
Yeah, I was the only one growing. And comparing myself with someone else wasn't going to be good. Now, what I did do that helped me tremendously is when I started growing, I began to say, I have got to get exposed to bigger people than I am, better people than I am, faster people than I am, smarter people than I am. And so I began to purposely put myself in arenas and environments where I would get around and meet these people and be able to connect with these people, and very quickly that stimulated my growth. And I thought, oh my goodness, I thought I was doing good, but now that I see a real growing, developing person that's highly successful, I've got so much further to go. And that became a tremendous stimulant for me also. But the comparison game stopped because what I tell people is that once you learn to grow yourself, there becomes tremendous joy. I had a person a long time ago, many, many years ago, Chris, tell me that define growth as happiness. And I really think it is. I think growing people are happy.
Wow.
And I think non-growing people aren't. And so when I began to understand and have the happiness and joy of growing, very quickly I quit comparing myself with others and just basically wanted to challenge myself to be all that I could become.
Sure. Gosh. So here's something you just said that folks, you need to hear this. You need to pick this out. One thing you just said is in the early days, you were very much into competition, which we all are. I mean, we're all wanting to make ourselves look great among other leaders or other people. We want people to choose us. We want people to pick us. We want people to think that we're already great. But here's the thing you discovered. You discovered that you were in competition. When you started to grow you decided to actually put yourself in groups of people better than you.
Mm-hmm.
In the early stages of leadership, we are trying to be the best person in the room. What you've discovered is when you quit worrying about that junk, when you quit worrying about politics, when you quit worrying about games, and you start focusing on being the best you, then you start being the least great person in the room. Again, my English is fantastic today.
You're right on, Chris.
That is phenomenal.
No, you're right on. In fact, I have a statement that basically says, when you're at the head of the class, you're in the wrong class.
Oh, wow. Oh, I love guys.
And I think it's so true.
Oh my gosh!
You know what? When I'm in the head of the class, I don't learn anything. Guess what I'm doing? I'm trying to teach everybody else what I know.
Right.
And so whenever I saw, and growth will, by the way, growth will put you at the head of the class. You'll get around peers and things, and very quickly you'll do well. And all of a sudden you'll say, you know what? I think I'm at the head of the class. Well, the moment you realize it, get out of that class.
Yeah,
you got to go find someone else smarter. And what's really great is there's always someone else faster, smarter, better, more successful than I am. So I've never had a problem going to another class and getting back in the back of the class again, bottom of the class. And but that's healthy because that's when you're swimming. That's when you're really stretching.
Absolutely. What is the difference between accidental and intentional growth? Now, you talked a lot about being intentional. What's the difference between, because truth is we do grow.
Yes.
So what's the difference between those two?
Well, first of all, intentional growth is continuous. Accidental growth is sporadic. You may get into a growing environment accidentally, being around some growing people, which is pretty amazing, and so you learn. But if it's accidental and it's not intentional, just what I've always said, just as it can sneak up on you and can give you some growth for a season, it can also leave you real quick and leave you stagnant for a longer season.
Absolutely.
So intentional growth is strategic. Accidental growth isn't. So I might be growing accidentally because I'm around somebody that I'm learning from, but it may not be in the areas I really need to grow in. Because one of the things I teach in the book is that you've got to discover and develop your strengths, and that's what you want to grow in.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to develop and discover your strengths.
And so don't confuse it. Don't just because you've grown, don't confuse where you are.
Oh, yeah.
Still be looking to be intentional.
No question about it. In fact, I cannot imagine anybody accidentally growing continually to success.
Yeah.
That has to be intentional.
No doubt. Now, what are some of your habits or disciplines for growing?
Well, I think the main habit and discipline that I try to teach people, and it's obviously in the book, and it's a statement that I make often, and that is the secret of your success is determined by your daily agenda. So when a person wants to grow and they want to change, the first thing we look at is, what can we do daily in your life to make that change or that growth a reality? And there's a tendency to kind of think of some big changes you want to make and say, okay, well, someday I really, really, really need to work on that or do something like that. And what you need to do is take whatever the change is or the growth is that you need in your life, and you need to break it down to a daily routine. Because what I do daily is what I tell people is every day you're either repairing, in other words, you're fixing what you didn't do well yesterday, or you're preparing and you're setting up tomorrow for success.
Repairing or preparing, I like that.
And Chris, intentional growth is preparing.
Sure.
It is preparing a person for success today. So when somebody says, it's kind of like a diet. Somebody says, boy, I want to lose 30 pounds. The question is, then what are you doing today to lose, a half a pound?
Sure.
It's not like one day you lose 30 pounds. What are you doing now? And if you're not doing something today that's going to get you to lose a half a pound, you're not going to get to the 30 pounds. That it's such a daily thing, and personal growth is totally a daily thing. It's every day I do behaviors, I do things that are compounding my success.
Do you ever just have a day of no thought?
No, I love it. I have had people ask me that question. Have I ever had a day of no thought?
Oh God!
Now, you know what? I want to be real careful because I don't want to come off better than I am. So I want to be real careful here. When I say I've never had a day of no thoughts, that sounds a little bit like I'm bragging. I don't mean that. Let me just say this. I have developed such a habit of thinking every day that I set time aside for thinking. I literally do. In fact, I wrote a book called Thinking for a Change. Now it's called How Successful People Think, and it's a very popular book. In fact, it's almost to 1 million copies. In fact, my wife Margaret said, "John, you've got more DNA in that book than any book you've ever written." And I do set aside every day to think, and I do think thoughts every day, but it's not because I'm brilliant. It's because I think I'm disciplined in thoughts. Again, I want to think thoughts. So, you know, whatever you're intentional in it, that's what you're going to get.
Sure, absolutely. Whew, all right, this is fantastic, brother. This is great. Can you describe the law of the rubber band?
Well, it's a fun law. Many, many years ago, I'm talking about, oh my goodness, 35 years ago when I started doing leadership conferences, one time I just got the idea and I took and put a rubber band on everybody's table where they were taking notes. And I had them hold up the rubber band and I said, now every one of us use a rubber band for certain things, and so this is something we're very familiar with. But have you ever thought about the fact that there is no value in a rubber band unless it's stretched? Name one thing that you've ever used a rubber band for that did not include stretching that band. The secret of the success of the rubber band is it can stretch enough and then contract to hold things together. That's what makes a rubber band work. So I did the law of the rubber band because I wanted to help people really get to see and understand that the only way that they were going to have value to themselves and value to others, the only way they're going to do that is if they stretched. You know, and so it all begins with stretching. So I did a whole chapter on the law of rubber band and basically on how do you grow, how do you stretch yourself, how do you get out of your comfort zone. One of the things I teach is you always want to be out of your comfort zone, but you don't want to be out of your gift zone. You want to play to your strengths. You don't ever want to leave your strengths. If you lose your strengths, you'll be in weaknesses and you won't be successful. So you stay in your strength zone, but you want to get out of your comfort zone. But the rubber band's all about stretching. The rubber band is all about getting out of your comfort zone.
I love it. I love it, brother. That is good stuff. Well, this has been a great interview. I can't thank you enough for doing this. I know the folks that follow the Entree Leadership Podcast are absolutely loving this right now. What we're going to do is we're going to stick around and do the extended interview for the chrislocurto.com readers, if you're all right with that.
Yeah.
And folks, what we're going to do is if you want to hear that, then go to chrislocurto.com. We are going to give away copies of the 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth. So make sure that you go on over there and check that out. John, where can they get the book right now? You're all over the place. Go to Amazon. Is that your favorite place, or where you want to send people?
To Amazon and go to a bookstore. They can go to johnmaxwell.com. My company, we have it. So whatever's most convenient for them. But the book is out now, and it's going extremely well. Pre-sales of this book were off the chart. But I know why. I know why. This book is going to do well because it's very simple and practical, but it meets a real need in people's lives, and that need is to know how to grow. So, yeah, they can go to any of those sources, and away they'll get them.
Fantastic. Well, John, thank you so much again for joining us on the Entree Leadership Podcast.
Absolutely.
Well, folks, I've got to say that that's one of my heroes. That interview right there for me was huge. That was fantastic. And the reason is simple, because there's somebody who has done it for a very long time. And not only has he done it, he's done it right. And has he failed? Of course he's failed. Of course he's made mistakes. But he's taught us how to do it the right way.
Hey, Chris.
Yo.
Do you think John would be my friend?
Hey, Colin, I think John might take you under his wing.
Oh, and can I borrow that book, too? He said he started when he was 26, and that's how old I am, so perfect time to start, right?
Okay, so...
And I could be the next John Maxwell.
You could be the next John Maxwell. There's a perspective for you right there. Starting out at 26 years old, he started out alone. Well, not alone, but having to discover the stuff for the next 40 years... You're 26 years old, and you've got a freaking library of John Maxwell to learn from.
Yeah, I better be successful, right?
if you're not successful after this, something is wrong. Oh, that's true. That's good stuff, brother. Yes.
Yeah, and plus all the entree material I get every day, you know?
Yeah. And just basically knowing me.
And knowing you.
Oh, absolutely. Sure. Absolutely. Definitely. That's it. Becky, what did you get out of all that?
Well, one of my main takeaways was something he said, if you're not growing, the doors will stop opening. Mm. And it's kind of going back, you know, again to the lesson with Dave this week, you know, you've got to be intentional about growing in all these areas in this wheel of life. And, you know, if one area is lacking, then your tire is going to be flat. So if you're not growing, then, you know, those doors will stop opening. And the other big thing about that statement was that, you know, that door might not look like what you thought it was going to be.
Right.
You know, you got to be open to, you know, all of the opportunities that are ahead of you. And you know, going back to that law of the rubber band, you know, you got to put yourself out of your comfort zone, but, you know, not out of your strength zone.
Sure.
So I think those are my big two takeaways.
That is so true. You know, you just don't think about it like that. You know, you've got to be under that tension of growth. You've got to be under that tension that makes it work. So absolutely. And I know just being able, having had the opportunity to watch you grow, because you've been here now a couple years, and watching you grow has been phenomenal, because you can see how you've put yourself in some situations that were not your comfort zone. I mean,
like talking
on the Entree Leadership Podcast.
That's why I was silent for a year.
we would go to you, but there was nothing that came out.
Now you've opened Pandora's box.
There you go. Right. Absolutely. Oh, crud. Now I just put myself out of a job. But seriously, watching that happen just in front of my eyes is a spectacular thing to see. So for me, my big takeaway is always going to be, I love helping people. I love growing people. I mean, that's just my thing. It's for me, it's a happy place. And so I love what he was saying about, listen, if you want to help people, you can't just help people. You don't just start by helping people. You've got to help you. Now, he didn't say that. That's what I'm coming up with. You've got to start by growing you. If you will grow you, then it's easy to pour back into other people, at least share the things that you've learned. And folks, I think the thing that I loved the best was when he talked about being the head of the class. Because truthfully, I do. I see this every day. I teach this stuff for a living. And I watch especially young leaders who think that their whole focus is to be the head of the class. They think that their whole focus is to be the number one person. Be the best, be the best, be the best. And the problem with being the best is you can't grow from anybody else. You can't learn from anybody else. Because if you're the best, that's it. You're done. So if you're the head of the class, get out of the class, man. Go somewhere else. Discover that it's not about you. It's not about being the best. It's about what else you can do. It's about pouring more into yourself. So
yeah, and I think that's one of the cool parts about the Master Series event is that it's not just the teaching from stage. I mean, you guys are pouring into these businesses.
Absolutely. We do that. If you come to the Entree Leadership event, I spend most of my time tearing businesses apart. Just sitting down with these leaders, these entrepreneurs, one-on-one, and tearing the whole business apart and putting it back together and showing them the things that we've learned, the things that we can see. And that's the other thing, is that I think people love that part so much. The reason why people are constantly asking me, hey, could you help me look at this? It's because I look at it from an unemotional side. I get to look at it from an outside perspective. Mm-hmm. One, I've been doing this stuff for many years, so I actually know how to look at a business. But two, I get to look at it without being blinkered, without being, you know, just in that moment, in that tight space. I get to look at it from the 30,000 foot view. Folks, I hope you enjoyed that. That was one of my faves. That was definitely one of my favorite interviews.
I think you could use the word epic.
I would say that is epic.
To describe this episode.
I would definitely say that is epic. And listen, you're going to want to hear the follow-up interview that we do. So make sure that you go to crystalcurtle.com and subscribe for that, because you're going to want to hear that. Now, coming up this Thursday at 9 a.m. Central, we will be hosting the Entree Leadership Live Chat. Come stop by for an hour and kick off your workday and learn from fellow Entree leaders. By the way, did we mention that it's free? It still is. It always is. It's just free. It's good stuff. If you haven't figured this out yet, we are trying so many ways to get you free information to change your life. So make sure that you do that. Remember to follow us on Twitter at Entree Leadership or at Chris Licurdo. Email us at podcast@entreeleadership.com. And for your daily leadership lessons, come on over to chrislicurdo.com. Now, don't forget to head over to the business section of DaveRamsey.com and sign up for our monthly newsletter. Once again, that is free as well, and that is just more great information. If you are interested in our Entree Leadership events, go to EntreeLeadership.com. Check that out. We've already done a couple of them. We've done our Indianapolis event. We've done our simulcast event. We have still got our Houston event. We did Phoenix, so it's been pretty incredible so far. We're going to wrap this one up, so make sure that you get involved with that as well. And finally, if you're interested in getting the big package, the big deal here, that would be our Entree Leadership Master Series that is in Orlando from October 14th through the 20th at Disney Swan and Dolphin Resort. Once again, the thing that is great about this, like Becky just mentioned, you're going to get the teaching. You're going to get the teaching. The great thing about this is we also spend a ton of time just sitting down with you one-on-one and giving you leadership information, leadership insight from people who are doing it every day, from people who are able to see the things that need to be changed and the things that need to be worked on. So make sure that you go on over to EntreeLeadership.com and get some information on that. Well, that puts another Entree Leadership podcast in the books, and I've got to say, I think it was pretty fantastic. Hope you guys are still enjoying this. Obviously you are. You've kept this the number one podcast on the planet when it comes to leadership. So we appreciate that. Thank you so much for your downloads. Thank you for following this. Thank you for telling your friends about it. It means a lot to us. With that, I got to thank the people that make this happen every single time. Chris Mefford, our executive producer. Becky Powell, our producer. Colin Fatke, our... We got to come up with a name
He's
for Colin.
He's our future John Maxwell now.
He's our future John Maxwell. That's right. Colin Fatke, our future John Maxwell.
He's so deep.
That's awesome. I wonder what people think when they listen to this stuff. They're like, gosh, those guys are dorks. John Maxwell and, of course, Dave Ramsey. Folks, take this information out. Change your leadership. Change your life. Change your business. Make sure that you join us again on the next Entree Leadership Podcast.
Folks, right now is the best time in history to operate or start a small business. If you're ready to take your leadership to the next level or start your own company, then join me, Dave Ramsey, at Walt Disney World's Swan and Dolphin Resort on October 14th through the 20th for our Entree Leadership Master Series. At this event, I'll teach you everything you ever wanted to know about building and growing a profitable business. You'll also experience personal leadership coaching from our executive team. Folks, you won't find this stuff in some college business class. This is 20 years in the trenches of leading and actually running a business. It's based on my New York Times number one bestseller, Entree Leadership. So bring your spouse, bring your team, but you better hurry. These events are limited to only 200 people, and they always sell out early. Call the Entree Leadership team at 888-22-PEACE. That's 888-227-3223 or online at DaveRamsey.com.